Hi, I'm Lashana Lynch, and you are listening to the Post-Credit Scene podcast.
Basala, who's your favourite white man?
Tom Hardy.
Give us your top five white men.
Okay, top five. So we've got Tom Hardy. I saw a really old picture of Andy Samberg. Kind of moved.
Okay.
Kind of moved. We've got, is it Kristen Bell?
Kristen Bell.
But him in American Psycho.
Okay. I like the specificity of it, that's why.
No, because that's like Tom Hardy again. And then there was another white guy that moved me recently. I was like, whoa, I was taken aback. Oh, always though, but David Beckham, but older David Beckham.
Well, listen, David Beckham is so handsome.
And then, did I give you five? That was one more, but I can't remember.
You gave me a double Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Oh, I don't know.
Manny, top five favourite white men?
Favourite white men? Arsene Wenger. Hmm? Arsene Wenger's number one.
Does that count? Yeah, that's good. You can have
him. Yeah, come on. Whatever. Arsene Wenger?
Stop, this is not serious.
Let's get the pod going. We are the Post-Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film, TV and theatre. Back in the studio, another episode, and I'm really looking forward to this one today. Yes, and my co-host Manny is definitely looking forward to it.
Of course.
Before we introduce our esteemed guest, I'm going to firstly shout out to Basola. It's good to see you in the studio. How are you?
I'm good, guys. Fresh from New York.
Jeez. Tell us about New York, man.
Guys, oh, goodness. I'm going to move to New York. I've been looking at apartments. They've been making me throw up because they're like $6,000 to $7,000 a month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking, if you like get a full-time job and then, I don't know, like OnlyFans or just sell Arsenal side, I reckon I can make rent. Also, I went to Starlet's, the strip club. Guys, all the BBLs are rock hard and it really upset me. And like, we were throwing cash at this baby, yeah? And she was like, I feel like strippers should lie to you. I feel like they should always kind of like sell you a dream.
Right.
Yeah. It's a performance.
Yeah, but babe was like, yeah, I'm tired, I can't wait to get it. I was so pissed off. How dare you tell me how your day really is? Like, what the fuck?
Tell me a fantasy,
like,
yeah.
Like, we were actually throwing cash.
Yeah.
It wasn't my money, but we were throwing money. Yeah. Throwing. I was like, how dare you do this to me like that? Yeah, people are real hard. You're not giving us anything. And you're like, yeah, girl, I'm so tired. I'm like, I was so pissed off. It really annoyed me.
Yeah.
And then I had macaroni and cheese in the club. And I noticed what crazy there. And then I forgot to tip the babe, like, the appropriate amount. She was like, oh, don't forget to tip me. And I was like, oh my gosh, of course. I thought I had tens.
The therapy babe.
No, this was
another one.
Like, the promoter babe, yeah. Okay. When that sorts out your table. She was like, don't forget to tip me. I was like, oh, of course. I thought I had tens. I had ones. So I had $4. $4 at the end of the night. I said, there's still money on the floor. She wants to pick it up. She can have some of that one. So I get the $4. I put it underneath the little tray, take the Patron ball, and I leave the club.
Sounds like a good trip.
They're never going to let me back.
Is it New York or Starlet's?
I think New York in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. I went to see a musical parody of Friends.
Oh.
Yeah. Guys, it was so, because I went to watch The Office one, but it was like the screening was done. And it was so good.
Mm.
That sounds really cool.
I don't know if it was as funny as I thought it was, but I remember like crying at one point, like weeping. Like, it's just...
Are you a Friends girl?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I've watched Friends quite a few times, but I'm just more of an Office girl. Like, I just, The Office is so much better. I just had a great time, guys, and I didn't want to come home. Then I tried to extend my stay, but they said that they might deport you because you're not meant to just keep trying to extend your stay. So yeah.
Good to hear. Good to hear.
See you guys.
It's good to see you too. It's good to know we're loved as well. Manny?
Yes, sir.
How'd you do, mate?
I'm doing great, my guy. Yeah, living life, enjoying. Yeah, man.
Well, how's your holiday blues? Come down?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, I think I've done a few things in between them that have lifted my spirits.
Things?
Yeah, things.
Could you elaborate on that, please?
Seeing people, enjoying family and friends time. Yeah.
Good to hear.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to welcome our...
No, how about you? Wait, how about you?
I'm all right. A bit tired, but getting used to the sort of changing weather. I don't think I've really accustomed to it. I think I'm coming down with something. Stay away from me.
That's okay. I'll get it. You have it.
Nah, but I'm good, man. It's good to be...
Someone said that to me once.
Who said that to you?
Bro, I can't say who, yeah.
Someone said what, sorry?
It was... And this might have to get cut out, yeah? Who's we, bro?
Credit scene podcast.
Don't lump me into this.
Who chops the market?
That's crazy. Guys, go on. That's crazy.
Lovers of film, TV, and theatre. I want to welcome our very esteemed guest, and it's a pleasure to have you on the pod.
Yes, sir.
Toby Cherimeteng, welcome to the pod.
That was so interesting.
It's an interesting start to our pod, right? Mm. We never actually talk about film and TV for like the first 10 to 15 anyway, because we've got some chaotic people on this podcast.
So. Yeah, be so long.
But it's good
get
to have...
Get my name out of your mouth.
It's good to have you here. How are you?
I'm good, actually. I'm all right.
How's your weekend been?
Pretty chilled. I just did some life admin, did some house admin. Shit. So yeah, it feels like a very adult weekend.
Mm. Do you feel like you're in the adult era now?
Yeah. I'm very much sort of like, if I'm going to go out, like I'll go to like a day party, but I want to be like in my bed at like 9.
Same.
God, abolish day parties, man.
What?
Guys, they're bullshit.
No.
Because you guys don't arrive to day parties until the evening and they never finish. At the daytime, you guys still get home at 2 a.m.
I definitely agree.
Because people like you go to Eden.
Oh.
Yeah. I saw a really good video of Lady Gaga, yeah? And she's like takes her heel off and then she's hitting the snare. Drum kit, and that's me. Next video you see of me at Eden, I'm taking my heel and I'm beating that drum properly. Yeah. Okay.
I believe you.
I feel like we need both, like it's duality.
No, I don't think day parties should exist. I feel like we should be young and it.
To be fair, I think when we first used to go to day parties, people used to get there on time.
Yeah.
On time. Because I remember sticks all the time. People would be there from 2 p.m.
Like 2016, 17 time.
Bro.
You'd be there from like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
Yeah. From early?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know what happened.
Because the day party was the best thing. Like when you're partying in the day.
And the sun's out. Oh my God. Yeah.
That party got locked off.
Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. She don't like me no more.
Wow. What did you do?
Probably didn't communicate.
I think she felt like dreams got sold, but they didn't because I ain't got time. That's a waste of time. Like, but maybe that's something I've learned over the years to be very, very clear with plans and what my intentions are.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Not necessarily the easy adulthood, I call it.
Mm. To be fair, that was a long time anyways.
Yeah, it was like 2017.
Yeah.
June.
Okay. Do you know the exact date and time?
15th. We are here to talk about film and TV. So yeah, Toby, welcome to the podcast. Manny's been very, very eager to get you on the pod for quite some time. Why is it today that you're here with us?
I had no choice.
Yeah, shit.
Honest.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know. No, it's cool, isn't it? Like, I listen to the podcast anyway.
Oh, cheers, do you?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. What's your favourite episode?
What
right
was
now?
That now?
Laughing too hard. Answer the question.
I'm a casual listener. Oh, no, I'm not going to pick favourite.
Why not?
You can, you should.
I'm not going to.
None of us going to take a personal.
Persona is everyone's favourite.
No, I'm not her favourite. Because if I was, she would have said it.
Yeah. True.
I mean, I don't think that's true.
Oh, 100%.
Fair enough. Everyone loves.
Right?
Everyone
loves. Said it right.
Yeah.
Everyone loves Biss though. Mm-hmm. I think she's a breath of fresh air. Do you know what I'm saying?
Guys, I changed.
No. That's not what I said. I said you're a breath of fresh air.
Aww,
you bring a different dynamic for sure. Manny, why were you so eager to have?
Oh, because this is the greatest human being to ever deserve.
Jesus. If you I don't necessarily disagree with you. Could you elaborate on that and specifically like what is for you that? What's great about Toby?
I don't know, but I'll be here all day if I start doing that.
We've got time, bro.
Yeah, nothing.
Get you cheesing as well.
But specifically
within the world within that we do in terms of our love for film and TV and theatre, like, what is it for you?
Do you know what's mad, yeah? Toby's been my guy for, like, what, 13 years?
Mm.
I've seen, like, one of her stuff.
Yeah,
I've seen, like, one of her stuff. To be fair, it's her fault. Because
some early screeners and that, yeah?
Not knowing that, because I messaged her recently. It's like, I haven't seen any of your stuff. Would you be able to send me links? No, I said to her, I haven't seen any of your stuff, but you can just ask me for the links. It's like, cool. I messaged her a few weeks later, can you send me the links to some of your stuff? It's like, all right, cool, Will. Didn't send it. I'll bring it up again. Can you send links to stuff? She didn't send it. I think the first time I asked, she just aired it. I was like, cool, I'm not asking
you
again.
I don't recall you asking me three times.
How many times did I ask?
I recall the first time.
So only asked once?
I think so, in my opinion.
Mm. Well, your opinion is wrong for once.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, in general, she's my goat. Good people, known her for a while. I can sit here and wax lyrical all day, but then people get bored.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I love Toby Dilly, my moral compass and all that. But yeah, magic, man. That's family. I've sent the longest voice note to her, which is like almost 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
Serious?
Yeah.
Never long voice.
Yeah.
So you must have had it on the lock thing, right? On the WhatsApp and that. You look at.
I don't think I locked it. I think I just held.
You held? God.
That's, wait,
that's actually kind of crazy. Because I was on your side. That's actually.
I think so. I can't remember. Bro, it didn't matter. So when I sent it, oh, this shit is actually hella long. I didn't realize it was this long.
Quite long, yeah.
Yeah. It was after her birthday. Sick. Because Toby has this thing where she doesn't really allows herself to be celebrated. Mm. So this is the first time I've seen her be celebrated, especially for her birthday, and so many people around her.
As well,
yeah, that they love Toby just as much as I do. Mm. It's just nice to see you. Just made me be happy. Made my day.
Kind of validates how you feel about said person as well, right?
Which makes sense, man. It was really nice to see you. And her people are really, really good people to be around as well, man.
Sick.
So yeah, it was a good time, man.
It was fun, actually.
No, it was a really good time. You gonna do something for your 30th?
Yeah,
I feel like you kind of have to. I think they're gonna force you.
I feel like it will be a by force situation.
Yeah, Junior's gonna offer for a surprise, isn't it? Mm. Yeah, most likely.
Well, you've got an impressive resume, which we're gonna get into today for sure. We want to start from the beginning, as most podcasts tend to say and do. Where did your love and adoration for the different mediums in terms of film, TV, and theatre sort of start from? Was it like a very young age thing, or was it like developed over time?
Maybe. I feel like it was like just from growing up. So I remember like we watched a lot of musicals in my house. I think my mum loves musicals. So like Sound of Music, Bang That Out, The Jungle Book, Bang That Out. Musicals that I still like very much love. So like I grew up on lots of those. And on both like TV, and then we would like have the cassette, like the tapes. So, yeah, we were like a musical household, you know what I mean? And so I feel like that probably started my sort of like love just generally for like the arts. I'm very much like a storytelling household, I would say. Like my parents just had like stories for days. Like my mum grew up in Nigeria, my dad grew up in Ghana, so they had like stories about like their lives, like before they met and before we were born, and da-da-da-da. So yeah, I don't know, it just felt like it was just a thing in my household. And then I feel like as I got older, I just wanted to like understand that world a bit more, and I think theatre was like the way to do that at that time.
What time was that roughly?
So when I was in school, so like what, 2000, like early 2000s.
Oh.
Yeah. Because it's like, I don't know, when you're in primary school and you're having to do like the like nativity plays, and then when you get to year six, like my school always did like, the year sixes always did like a big musical.
Yep, same.
So ours was Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and I was Charlie, obviously. And then like moved to secondary school, and at the time my secondary school was really good at like performing arts stuff. So we did loads of musicals there.
What school did you go to?
Chestnut Grove.
Whereabouts is that?
Balham.
Oh, you're south, like southwest.
Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah, it wasn't a good school, just to clarify.
I think we could all relate to that to some degree.
She said Balham, we already knew.
It was like, that they ate that one little thing, do you know what I mean? So like, we did like.
Yeah. We can all relate. That's like, why. That's the reason.
Yeah. So it was just like there was space to indulge in it at the time, and then it was just like always of interest.
People always tend to say, I don't know if you guys have noticed it. Some people say there was a teacher, or there was someone that sort of gave them a window into their particular like interest or field. Did you have that at school? Or was it more you found your own way into sort of drama, theatre, arts?
I don't think there was like a specific teacher that was like, oh, you're the one that like
inspired. You didn't have a Coach Carter.
I wouldn't say, although like in college there was, so you know Aaron Pierre, the actor?
Yeah.
So his dad would teach at my college.
Oh, nice.
So he introduced me to the work of Debbie Tucker Green.
Okay.
Who's like an amazing playwright, and she was like probably the first like black British playwright that I'd read at that time. So that was like, I would say that was pivotal in terms of like tapping into like black British artists, and her work is like super poetic and all that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't say there was like a teacher that was like, oh, you're the reason that I like love theatre. It was just like a thing that I loved because like my mum loved it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. How does one find their sort of go from like school though into... But so I know, Manny mentioned that you started your journey at the Battersea Arts Centre.
Mm-hmm.
How does one get into that? Does it, is there like an enrolment thing? How does that work?
That was just vibes, to be honest. So,
sick. Yeah, why not?
So when I went to college, so when I was growing up, if you wanted to be involved in the arts, you were doing it as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only route that was told, like, oh, okay, you really like theatre, you really like film. Okay,
yeah, I agree with you, actually. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is it. Like, you're not really told. You might be told about, like, writing your own stuff,
mm-hmm.
but you weren't really being told about anything else. So I was in lots of, like, youth drama groups and all that kind of stuff, but it wasn't... I didn't want to be an actor. I was just there because I was told to be there, basically. Do you know what I mean? And so then when I went to college, I did a performing arts BTEC. And again, that was very, like, performance-led.
Mm.
But the process of it was sort of, like, all of us in a room coming up with ideas, talking about things that we liked, going to see plays. And I liked that, and I liked the conversations that we were having. I just didn't want to, like, have to go on stage and then perform the thing. So when everyone was sort of, like, auditioning for, like, drama schools and figuring out what they wanted to study at university, I was like, I don't actually know, because I don't want to go to drama school. Like, I don't want to be an actor. I don't know what I would perform. Like, I don't know what I would study
mm-hmm.
if I went to university. So I just Googled, like, apprenticeships in theatres. Like, that was literally it. And
you just proactive them,
aren't you? One popped up, and I was like, okay. And I just applied for everything. They had all these different pathways, and I didn't know what they meant. And then got placed at BAC, which was very lucky for me because it was a very, at the time, super young organisation.
Okay.
Like, lots of, like, recent graduates and stuff like that. And we kind of just got to, like, my department, which there was, like, two of us. We just kind of got to do what we want.
Sick.
So it was very, like, it was quite freeing to sort of, like, come out of college and then be in an organisation that was sort of like, what do you want to do?
Mm.
Like, what are you interested in? And get to sort of like play in that way. But, and that was when then I found out about producing. I didn't know what that was. And that was producing in a very specific context of like theatre, devised theatre. So not even like theatre that had a script. They didn't do plays. It was very much sort of like people in a space coming up with an idea and then rehearsing something until they made a show.
Mad.
So it was, like, random. Like, the first show I saw in that building was, like, some woman throwing, like, oranges at a wall, and I was like, what is this? Like, I was baffled. So it was very, like, abstract-y type stuff.
Mm.
But I was like, okay, cool, like, whatever, innit? Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't know what this thing was, but then ended up staying there for 3 years, and was like, oh, this is fun. I'll just keep doing this.
Our friend Manny, you have a huge adoration for theatre as well.
Yeah.
Where did that begin for you, bro? Like, obviously, you've encouraged us as a group, I think, to dive more into theatre. You two went together quite recently. So Shifters as well.
Perfect. Thanks to guys.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That's all right, man.
Big on me, big on me.
It was his birthday, so.
You got me tickets for Shifters. I can't remember exactly where it came from, but I think one of the first plays that I remember watching and really enjoying was... The Black Barbershop? No, the Barbershop Chronicles.
Mm.
Which I think my friend got it from me. I think that she might have got it from the Black Ticket Project. Mm. But yeah, I remember watching that and just being, like, just loving it. Especially being one of the first shows I've seen that so many black people are just there. And then on the back of that, I just started going to a theatre show with one of my friends, Louise. Big up, Louise.
Sorry if I missed it. What year was this, roughly?
2018?
Okay.
Did you go to the first or second barbershop?
It might be 2019. I think I'm going to the second one, actually. I try to remember when me and this person were cool. It might be 2019.
This person?
Yeah.
Okay.
This person.
Jesus.
No, it's not that.
It's him.
Yeah.
Jesus at him.
We'll be very serious for like 10 minutes when I tried to spread that. Yeah. It's much seriousness. We need to make one joke. But yeah, the Barbershop Chronicles, I really enjoyed the storytelling aspect. I think because I've always been a lover of stories from young,
yeah, you know, different aspects. Sure.
And obviously theatre is just another form that I really enjoyed, but only took on over the last 5 or 6 years. And I kept going with one of my friends, kept seeing one of my boys, he was acting quite often. It wasn't dating. I don't know why you guys looked at each other. Well, one of my boys, he's an actor, so I went to quite a lot of his shows. And then, yeah, I just started going to theatre shows. And I think over the last 2 years, I've just been doing it a lot more, being more proactive. And I don't know if you noticed this. Do you feel like there's a lot more black shows now than it was like around 5, 6 years ago? Because I feel there's a lot more now.
Kind of. Yes. Yeah, to an extent. Because I feel like there's always this like renaissance. Like this isn't the first. I feel like every time there's like a group of black shows, people are like, oh, there's like a renaissance. But the last one was like Barbershop Chronicles, Misty and Nine Night were all happening at the same time. Yeah. And people were like, it's a renaissance. And then it was kind of like petered out for a little bit. And then now, but I do feel like now it definitely feels like more consistent. And yeah. I feel like there are more platforms that people
go to
follow for, now, yeah. Like the rendition.
Yeah.
And like those kind of places that are just like, here are all the black plays that are happening this month. But there was definitely a time where there would be like one.
Mm. And the only reason I bring it up because I pretty much only go to black shows. And
yeah, you made it a thing for sure.
Yeah, and I noticed that I've been watching quite a lot of mediocre and rubbish theatre shows. Which are
from the black?
From the blacks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
From the blacks.
But I didn't realise it.
But it highlights just how much more there is. There's obviously a lot of great ones, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm seeing like.
But no, we need to start encouraging black mediocrity.
I completely agree. Not
everything needs to be great.
Not everything needs to be great. So I've been seeing like quite a lot of like shows that I would regard as mid, not even bad, like just mid shows, yeah. Okay shows that will still tell people that if you like this type of genre or this type of show that you enjoy this, like I thought it was okay, but I think somebody else will enjoy it a lot more. And I don't think I had it before. Now I have to be more selective in the type of shows that I go and watch just because I know I wouldn't like some of them.
Even if that's an invite, for example, like someone says, we want you to come and for a review, would you decline or would you?
If it's a black show, I wouldn't decline it.
Mm-hmm.
There's like somebody, like I've been invited to a few shows that were like,
yeah, speak about it, bro.
Like white musicals.
Okay.
And I'm like, it's not for me. Like, it's generally not for me.
Because it's a musical or just because it's the other thing?
Yeah, the other thing.
I was hoping you'd say musical. Okay.
Like, I'll go to a musical, but like, and like, I would, like, my main focus is watching and hearing about black stories.
Mm-hmm.
Not even just black stories, just like, I've grew up watching stories written by white men and white women that stars white men and white women, or mainly white men for most of my life. It's like, bro,
that's an interesting take though. I saw someone, Yasmin, you follow her on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah.
She mentioned yesterday how when she was growing up, she feels there was a lot more representation, quote unquote representation, in terms of seeing like black.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
On screen than there is today.
And
the concept
about,
of diversity isn't really.
Yeah, there's this thing about like in the 90s, they had 90s and early 2000s, there were tons of black shows because there were tons of black channels.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. They might not be controlled by black people, but they were still only pushing black voices and stuff. So when, I think when Girlfriends ended and the way it ended, do you guys ever watch Girlfriends?
Yeah.
So that last episode, of course, wasn't meant to be last episode because you can just tell.
Yeah.
It literally is just Lynn like running away.
Yeah.
And, like, the water.
Abrupt.
It's a bit of like of a nothing episode.
Yeah.
And as it, someone spoke about it being like the final piece of TV that they saw when they realised it is actually the death of like
black.
Not the death, but like that's the end of black TV that we're gonna get, because you had things like the Eve Show.
Yeah.
You had like.
One on one.
Yeah, we had all those back to back to back.
Trouble had a bunch of them.
Yeah.
But they just stopped making them. And then when Insecure came out after, someone spoke about that. The Girlfriends, the Insecure jump was a bit, it shouldn't be in as long as it was, because there was no excuse for that.
Yeah.
Mm.
That, like, when we had so many shows back to back, and then that comes in, it's like, oh, okay.
Mm.
But yeah, but I think like between the end of the Trouble era, because that's where you watch most of my, mostly like American black shows.
For sure.
And even up to like the last seven years ago, it was mainly just white people on TV. And again, it's not even like, oh, I just don't want to see white people. I see a lot of you guys. Like sometimes I like to see stories about other, even like this year, I mentioned on the pod before, like I watched Moonlight for the first time this year. I watched, I love that film. I watched the film with Andrew Scott.
I like the movie. But we're not going to act like the premise of the movie isn't just like bullshit. Or like just the DL guys. I know, it's a completely different.
It's a great film. Do not cast me like.
No, because the movie is great.
Okay. Anyways.
I just can't explain it without it being okay. Sorry.
Okay. Anyways. I watched that.
In a bar.
It's just DL. It's like, oh my gosh, this is like a.
It's a great film. Let's move on. That nigga's DL, but it's a great film. Anyway, Moonlight, I watched a film with Andrew Scott. I can't remember about him. Paul Biscott, I can't remember the name of it. Watch Femme.
Strangers.
Yes. Mm. And I think I mentioned the pod before. It's like, I've never really watched like queer-led films that much. But when I watched them, it's like, bro, there's so many ways you can tell stories. And you can't, like, all of our strangers, that story can never be told of a straight couple. You can't explore those themes and those feelings in the same way, because it's unique to queerness. And that's just how I feel in general about having like diversity in films. Like, I like to watch films about people that I might not necessarily be, groups I might not necessarily be part of.
Is that why you enjoyed Shogun?
Yes, but also just like reading really well. But obviously,
did you not like it?
I loved it.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah. But obviously, because it's about a different culture, and also nice taking different cultures as well. But yeah,
and it felt authentic as well.
Yeah, and that's another thing. I enjoy watching, reading, and consuming stories through different medias where it feels there are stories that I haven't necessarily been that involved in, or stories that I haven't really seen,
really
seen on TV.
Yeah,
there's a theatre show that was called G. That was I think it was Royal Albert.
Royal Court,
thank you. That finished recently, and it's essentially about these three young black kids, and the whole premise is like horror themes. But what I really enjoyed about it is that they use the aspect of hood mythology, like, you know, like if you walk underneath
Batman's legs.
Yeah, Batman's legs. Yeah, yeah. Or this, like, when.
It's so. Or,
do you know what's mad? Yeah, normally I wouldn't react to that, because it just came to my head. I was like,
what's he
saying? I realised I shouldn't have said that out loud, but I did, so here we are.
But yeah, and even like the thing when you walk around, like different, we see like shoes, trainers hanging.
Or stepping on cracks in the
Or stepping on cracks, yeah. And they explore like themes of hood mythology in a way that I've never seen it before. Mm. And I thought the show was good. It's not my favourite show, but the premise of it, like, I loved it. Like, I really enjoyed it. Mm. And again, just speaks on like telling stories that there's so many stories that you can tell. There's no reason why I need to watch back-to-back films and I can really tell what the story's about, because we've seen this for the last 10, 20, 30 years. But yeah, I don't know how I finished.
No, all good. Bess, I've got a task for you. I want to know some of your favourite British actors across like mediums, like in terms of film, TV, can be theatre as well.
You can't say his name.
What, Tom Hardy? Oh, no. Oh, Tossin.
I can't say his name, actually.
She's going to start barking again.
Yeah, Manny's so wicked. There's one point where their lips are like, it's enough. It's enough. Manny tapped my leg and was like, open your eyes. I'm like, no. He lips that four times. It's so excessive.
She jumps on him. There's one time she jumps on
him.
She had to close her eyes like, open it. You need to see this.
I'm like, no, I don't want to see it. I can't.
I can't lie. The fandom for Tossin is serious.
Yeah, serious, bro.
I think it's valid. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Give us some of your favourite.
I never really want to meet him properly in real life.
Yeah, because you got mad.
We said if he comes on the pod, you can't be on that episode.
Yeah, I don't ever want to, like.
We won't be allowed in this room.
Yeah. We have to lie to her.
Take the time.
For everyone's sake.
Tell her it's 8 o'clock, she won't be here.
No, she will for Tossin.
Tossin?
She'll stay over.
The night before, you don't know. I feel like we need to bring about having crushes, and I have a crush on Tossin Carwell.
That's fine.
Like,
yeah, that's fine.
Really want to talk to him properly. Like, even when I interviewed him on the carpet, I was like, this is enough. 4 questions is more than enough. I don't actually want to get to know you as a person.
Mm.
I like that just
it can break the mystery, happen. Right?
Yeah, I don't think we have that enough. Like, ever have a crush on, or had a crush on, I'm like, oh man, you suck.
Mm.
Like, oh, you suck. Oh, I wish I didn't know that. Mm. But like, you're a really shitty person.
Mm.
Sad. Anyways, the question you asked me.
These don't have to be the best per se, because it's quite a hard question. It's something I'd like to rather think about, but just names that come to mind for you.
Okay. Tossin's always going to come to mind, but that's because of...
Oh, my God.
No, guys, no, because this part isn't horny. This part actually isn't horny. This part is actually Super Soul. God. That's really bad. We've got guests as well, you know.
Come on.
Okay, so... guys, also, no one's coming to mind. Okay, who's coming to mind right now? Oh, they're not black, so it's kind of embarrassing. But Maisie Williams.
Okay.
But I guess it's...
Oh, really?
I keep seeing her on my... thingy.
For you page.
Yeah, for you page, because she got a
podcast. Yeah.
Yeah, she does film.
Yeah, the film club. So like, I actually can't get out of my head. That's
yeah.
Like, part of the reasons. Also, I was rewatching Game of Thrones. So.
B.
She's.
I think we've got such like, we spoke about this before on the pod. I don't know if you heard the actual episode, and I think we did a 15 to 20 minute segment where we were talking about the sort of we're very much theatre based in this country, or there's some sort of like there's a drama element to our acting from a very young age, and we study it whether you want to or not. Like, you have to do drama. I feel like that like plays a key role in some of the trajectory we see for some of the best actors that we have.
Yeah.
So like Matthew McFadden, for example,
yeah,
who is great in Succession, have you seen? Phenomenal Succession. You can see the dramatic elements in his acting, like Sir Ian McKellen, Sir Patrick Stewart.
We have the best like drama schools when it comes to dramatic acting.
Right.
Like, that's part of the reason. Who else was I saying? Okay, and then I've got like, the top boys, but I think that's the.
I think Kane Robinson's an easy name to say. That's fine.
I wasn't. No, as in like the top guys. Sorry.
Oh my bad. I thought you were talking about top boy. My bad.
I was gonna say like, Daniel and then like Damson, like just.
Oh yeah, you're a huge fan of Damson.
The bigger faces we see out there. Guys, I'm actually not this corny at the time, I swear. this genuinely looks insane. Like, I'm just naming bare people like, shag. That's not the point I was trying to make at all.
It's more to them than
like,
that.
It's okay for your fan.
Yeah.
She's moving like the fans of Arthur
Flip. No, it's the way. You are a piece of shit. You're fair. Yeah, but it's faces that you can't escape. Because Damson hasn't been in anything recently.
No, it's been quite quiet. Yeah. He had that series last year, right? There was a series.
Where he was smashing
Haley. Swamp.
But he was in it for one episode.
He had that, and he's got the F1 film coming out next year.
I'm really not looking forward to that. Oh my God. I saw like, the poster for it, and I was like, wow. I'm going to have to pretend to like the
film. Neither am I, but I'm interested to see Damson.
In it, yeah, for sure.
In it.
And how will you navigate?
No, guys, you know how I feel about rom-coms and stuff, yeah?
Mm.
Get some of these boys in the rom-com.
Like, oh, yeah.
Well, 100%.
Yeah, I agree. Like,
why are we putting him next to Brad Pitt and making like a fucking F1 movie? Like, no.
I agree.
Like, please, like, stop it. Like, like, it's enough now, please. Like, he was so good at Snowfall, and we were talking about Snowfall like last week and the music in it and stuff, but. Like, damn, there are some guys you watch here and you're like, I really wish you
did something else.
Yeah.
Write a bit solo.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I told you about me writing something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I've stopped now.
That's fine. You can go back on it.
No, I'm not going back to it. Because there are like 3 shows and a movie that's coming out that has all the same premise. And I was like, this feels like I'm copying them. But I'm actually not. But
I remember someone saying that your ideas are never yours, you just borrow them.
Yeah.
And once you don't use them, it just goes back into the world and somebody else will use it.
Yeah, but I feel like.
Look at you.
There's just
whoever said that, big up you, because it was definitely
it wasn't me. Manny, any favorite actors that come to mind for you?
Not really that comes to mind.
Oh, not favorite, but people that you think of that you just think very talented.
Like, British actor, go.
I'm gonna say Denzel Washington.
Okay, wow,
that's the person. I know it's not British.
Wow,
that's the person. Because we talk about great actors all the time, but then nailing them down is quite tough. But like. I think of obviously the great Sir Ian McKellen, Patrick Stewart.
Yeah.
What's his name in Succession? That's Logan Roy. Oh, I can't forget his name. Brian Cox.
Yeah.
Right, Brian.
Oh, he's great.
He's.
I'm interested to see because he's just finished his directorial debut, innit?
For
his he just shot a feature, directed a feature that he's in.
Sick. And he hates the state of film and TV right now, so it'll be interesting.
I'm very intrigued.
Yeah.
Because he done a run on the West End fairly recently as well.
Mm.
Yeah, even going back to your point, so kind of going off topic.
That's fine. It's what we do.
And this conversation about Tom Holland.
Here we go.
What was the conversation?
No, I'm going to bring up. I think Tom Holland is a good actor.
He is.
He's a good actor. I didn't watch Romeo and Juliet, but from the reviews that I've got from people is that...
He was action.
Yeah, he was okay.
Mm.
And then when I saw this, I was like, bro, I get it. Yeah. Because I've seen it in films, and I think that theater... It's probably the hardest form of acting
100%.
that I've seen. I think like if you're really good at theatre acting, I feel like you'll be great in Hollywood. But I don't think it's that way around. And I think Tom Holland is the perfect example of that. It's like I can watch a Tom Holland film in theatre. I mean, not in theatre, sorry, in cinema. But I don't think I ever care to watch you in the West End or in the official.
It's a talent picking good projects, which like I guess is the interesting duality for actors, producers, directors, anyone really. Like sometimes you need a bag. Sometimes you just need to earn some money. Mm. So do you pick a project because you need the money or do you pick a project only based on your morals and like, I want a story that's great. So like Adam Driver's a good actor, right?
Yep.
He gets criticised all the time.
I just watched the whole TikTok series about him on my way here. Like, that's crazy.
That's only because he was a
member. I thought you were going to talk about it.
I was like, I'm okay. Our brains.
What was in the series?
And then you're like
he gets criticised for like picking bad projects and yeah, it's like
his movies and stuff all tend to suck.
But he's a good actor.
I'm actually so sorry.
No, it's fine. He's like a talented actor, so it's just interesting conversation. Any actors that stand out for you, whether it's theatre, film, TV?
Do you know who I'm excited to see?
You see someone mad niche, isn't it?
No, not even actually. But I'm excited to see what he chooses to do next because I think he could do some very interesting things. Is Josh Tadeku?
Yeah.
I would
say.
Yeah. Like a not professional crush, but I'm just excited.
On the same page. I honestly feel like he is a superstar, yeah. And I feel like if he chooses his projects really carefully. I thought he's going to do some very, very interesting things. I think he's a very versatile actor.
And they have a very talented family as well.
Yeah.
They have a very talented family, which actually spun me.
Yeah, we discussed it. Yeah. But I enjoyed, go on, sorry, continue.
Just to answer the question quickly.
That's cool.
I think there's four brothers. Yeah. Two of them are writers and directors. They did the short film for Nines' latest album. So
Crop Circle.
Yeah, no, not Crop Circle, the latest one that just came out.
Quick Wash Your Head.
Yeah, yeah. So he did a short film series for social media specifically, and I think Josh's brothers did them. And then they got a younger brother. Have you watched the Skepta film that came out earlier this year?
Absolutely not.
But I think there's a young version of Skepta. Skepta, yeah.
She can't watch that.
No, it's not.
Are you alright?
No, it's not. No, they're making it worse than it is. I swear to you. No, the reason I haven't watched the Nines movie or I haven't watched Travel Mark is because of the people behind it. It's nothing to do with them. I don't know how excited I am to watch Skepta's awakening to remember he's Nigerian.
Oh yeah.
When he's told us repeatedly that he was a coon from the '80s. He told us unprovoked, I'm a coon from the '80s. Why are you telling me this? But also you're gonna make a movie called Tribal Mark. What am I going to watch? And then Crop Circle, the movies, and then Quick Wash Your Head, the actor, because they choose only influencers and stuff. So it sucks.
Yeah.
So the first two, they really do suck. Because the writing's great, but they do the thing when they put a couple of actors in there, yeah? So they had Kyra Gray, one of them, and they put her next to someone that really couldn't act. So I'm like, oh, this looks horrible. This looks really bad. Waste the 40 minutes.
Did it make the other person, the actual professional actor, look bad as well?
No, it makes them look outstanding, really, really good, but also makes them look like an idiot for even choosing to be in this. I'm just like, oh, this...
To be fair, the latest short film series, they have actors in it.
Seriously.
But it's really short. It could have been longer. Yeah, it could have been longer. But yeah, and then I think the youngest brother, I think he plays the younger version of Skepta in the Skepta film. So that's just a very talented family.
Mm.
As in the one with the unibrow?
Josh, I can't remember. I didn't watch it.
Unibrow like afro.
What are you talking about?
So when Skepta was casting for it, yeah?
Yeah.
He was like, he needs people that look like him.
Yeah.
At the age of 21, 25. And everyone was like, yeah.
No. It'll be much younger. The person's a kid.
Maybe, no.
Yeah, it was a kid. I haven't watched this, or I'm going to tell you which one. But yeah, just the talent family.
Okay.
Yeah.
David Johnson.
Yes.
Yeah, my jigger.
Yes.
I saw him in Rye Lane last year. So that was the first time I
heard him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, talented. I really enjoyed the chemistry with Vivian Aparo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Really, really good.
I love that woman.
And very honest in its storytelling. And then I saw him in Alien Romulus. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know he was in industry. I saw him in Alien Romulus.
Oh.
He was so good in Alien Romulus. So she was there. He was sick, right? Forget him, don't worry. He was so, so good in Alien Romulus. And then I saw him in industry. I was like, this guy was in industry? Industry came out a couple of years ago. So where have I been that I missed his sort of journey?
Yeah, yeah. Really, no,
I
he
love
is.
Him in industry,
you know? No, I really enjoyed him.
He's the only character where I'm like, you're not that awful of a person. The rest of them are really shit people.
He's the top shagger, though.
Yeah, no,
he's
sex life is my issue.
I think that makes him a bit shitty.
Yeah, he sex life is my issue.
Chopping that child.
Yeah, oh, no. As you say it out loud, I'd be only date is little rich twinks. And I'm you meant to be teaching this boy. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just shagging.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you went to his dad to tell him that brother.
Yeah, but he's his diversity and his range.
Yeah,
he's
good at it.
Yeah, I'm excited for him because he's just shown that he can do quite a bit.
Mm.
David Johnson. You missed it. I shouted you out.
Oh.
I said, Tush, do you see him in Alien Romulus?
Running back.
You've missed it.
No, you missed it. Sorry,
he was so good at Romulus.
He was good. He was really good in Alien Romulus.
No, yeah.
He does.
Yeah.
Toby, the Black Ticket Project. Man, you mentioned it earlier. Do you want to talk to us about that quickly? What is the premise, or what was the premise, and what was why did you want to commit to the Black Ticket Project?
Yeah, it was an initiative. It became an initiative, but it just started out as me basically buying tickets for black people to see black shows and then giving it to them, and then that was kind of it. Like, no, but that's literally the, I feel like the industry made it this whole like big thing, but that was literally it. It was like I just bought tickets and then gave it to people and was like, go see this play. And then that was it.
But you don't see there's like a bigger thing, obviously, to you.
Yeah.
You just don't want to, you don't want the flowers. I know what you're doing. Manny mentioned this earlier because he said we were going to talk about you today. And
I don't even think it's necessarily that. I feel like it was just such a very simple thing that any organisation could have done who actually had.
But they didn't.
That's the point.
Yeah, because they're racist. But like, that's like size. Like, do you know what I mean? So, but yeah, I just bought tickets, gave them to people, was like, go see the play, and then I'm not going to ask them whether they thought it was good. I'm not gonna ask, do you know what I mean? Like, if they want to tell me how they felt about it, then cool, but I don't need to know. I just know that this play is basically like you, part of your experience, so you should be seeing it. So the first one was Barbershop Chronicles.
Okay.
Because I went to see it, I went to a matinee with my friend Adrian, and I'm pretty sure we were the only black people there, and I was like, this is weird. Yeah. I think this was the first run.
Okay.
And it was also a matinee, so I guess like the middle of the day. But it was like, damn. On a play about barbershops in black countries. It's very scary, do you know what I mean?
It's like black cast as well.
Yeah.
But it's not...
Carry on, bro.
Okay, but yeah, but it wasn't just organisations, and it was also individuals that didn't do what you did, that had more resources than you. But
yeah, of course.
So you deserve your flowers. Yeah. Even though you see it as something simple, like there's a lot of people that wouldn't have gone to theatre shows and watched X amount of theatre shows if it wasn't for what you did.
Because the big topic you've made about it, Manny, is like, have you spoken about it before? And I think we discussed it on the pod. It was us three. We were talking about either the concept of accessibility to marginalised, under quotation marks, I hate that word, there's a better word for it, but communities that don't tend to engage in theatre, or people that think it's not something they'd be into, you can change someone's life completely by just that one experience. Like, you could make them be interested in wanting to act or get into producing, or just might want to go to watch more shows. So like, it is quite an important thing to do, so shout out to you.
Yeah, big up you.
I think that's a very important thing, and you should be celebrated for it.
Yeah,
ticks. Yeah. Well, how did that sort of continue on? How did that look for you?
Yeah, so like when I did it for Barbershop Chronicles, and then I think Barbershop came back for a second time, and then that time I emailed the National Theatre and I was like, you need to give me tickets because I actually have no money. Like, I mean, the first time I did it, I was like, what, 23? So I was like, I was not earning bank, do you know what I mean? I had a discount code and that's the only reason I bought the tickets. But the second time, they were like, now more people, because it always happens, like there's a show and then people find out about it too late, or they trust it too late and then they miss it. And then it comes back and then everyone is then like, oh, I need to see it.
Eager to see it.
So there were just more requests and I was like, guys, this was meant to be a one and done. Like, I don't have money like that. So I asked them to give me some tickets, which they did. And then I think I put out like a GoFundMe or something for the rest. And then bought more people. And then after Barbershop was Nine Night, I think, at the National again. So we did it for that. And then for Misty. So it kind of just ended up becoming a thing, which at the time was actually quite stressful because it's a lot of admin. Do you know what I mean? And then, like, someone else, like, named it. Like, so I think someone was like, oh, if this was, like, a regular thing and I could donate to it regularly, I would.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, okay, cool. And then someone else called it the Black Ticket Project. So it was very much just sort of, like, people made it a thing.
It was really a community vibe then.
100%. Yeah. So I was just like, okay, cool. Like, I will keep doing this as a thing then if it feels useful to people. And then just, like, collated this, like, database of, like, different schools and like youth institutions or anyone that basically worked with communities that wanted tickets and had certain rules for the theatres, that because then theatres were like, oh, we want to give you tickets but then I had rules for them and I was like, they have to be good seats, like don't give me seats that are all the way at the back in the gods, and don't come to me 2 days before a show because you haven't sold tickets for that show and now you want to give them away because I will say no. So it was like, you tell me about it before the show's been announced and allocate tickets then, or as soon as you announce that show, then...
Would you like search if they're reach out to you and it was like, oh shit, yeah, we haven't sold that. Would you find that out? How would you find that out?
Because usually they'll be like, hey, we've got this show on Thursday.
And it's like, mm-hmm. on a Tuesday, they'll
shout at you. 100 tickets. And it's like, okay, you just haven't sold these tickets. And I know you want buns and seats. Do you know what I mean? It always be something like something stupid like that.
Yeah,
it's like,
sure.
And now I'm going to be doing the admin in 48 hours to get people in the... And they, on their side, they've got to do admin because if they're working with people that are under the age of 18, they've got to use free to take them. They've got to be the parents. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a whole process. Do you know what I mean? So I just like, don't bring me that because I'm not going to do that work. So yeah, it just kind of ended up becoming a thing. And it was also like, I wanted people to be able to see lots and lots and lots of work. Yeah. Because actually, a lot of people will buy tickets to shows. Like, I think we saw that with like, for Black Boys, people were buying those tickets themselves, do you know what I mean? And it's like, but I think it's just about, if someone that like you trusted was like, go see this play,
yeah.
then you'd be like, okay, I'm going to go see it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Otherwise,
I'm going to make him go watch things first.
And then you'll be like, oh, do you rate it?
Did you ever watch Slave Play?
Yes. I didn't see it here, but I saw it in New York.
Okay, so yeah. Someone's already explained everything to me now, finally.
Have you seen it?
No.
Okay.
I was never going to watch something called Slave Play. I wasn't
going
to
do that.
So the premise was not explained to me. Mm. It's officially out, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of it?
That's such a great line of questions. What did you do?
Like, because I know my opinions, but I haven't watched it, so I think my opinion is capped.
Yeah.
But from what I was explained to you about it, I was like, oh.
A lot of noises, no words.
Yeah, trust me.
Do you know what? Like, when
Wait, who's the lead
I...
of that?
Kit Harington.
And
if we're talking about like choose bad projects, him. He's at the top of that list. Industry is his first good pick since Game of Thrones. That nigga's been doing all sorts.
Kit, man.
They had what? Snow one pilot for Snow that sucked. Then they had he did that.
He was in Eternals.
He was in that show on Netflix. Yeah. Is that called Confession or something?
Oh, and yeah.
I liked his opening monologue was really good. Then after that,
is that the anthology series?
Yes.
Like each episode?
Yeah, it's something different. Yeah, and it's about like a crime that they either did or didn't commit. Yeah.
Really good. But, I did see that.
Yeah, his opening monologue is so good.
I'm like,
oh, this is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And then it ends in such a like, wait. But then I saw his face here on the cover of Slave Play and I just wanted to slap it back of his neck. Like, why would you do that? Then it was explained to me and I was like, oh, this is just like, the title is really like rage baity.
Yeah, it is.
And that's what pissed me off to that in the first place.
Yeah. I don't think it's a bad play. I think it's a very American play. And I have an issue with American plays about race coming to the UK.
Yeah.
I don't know if you see Octoroon. That was at the National.
No, I don't think I have.
That play should never have been here. And I don't think it's a bad play. Uh-huh. But I'm like, these plays are heavily about like specifically American racism.
Yeah.
Why is it here with this audience?
And when I saw the queue for Slave Play when we were leaving Shifters, there were too many white people in there.
100%. 100%.
Why are you guys so eager to watch a play called Slave Play?
Yeah.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I just feel like there's too much that needs to happen here before those kind of plays can come here. So when I saw it in New York and I was watching it with like a bunch of black people, I was like, okay, I can understand how this play translates there.
Mm.
And it didn't like, not everyone loved it in the States as well, mm-hmm. but it's like, contextually, I get it
mm-hmm.
when you're talking about American racism and slavery and then the interracial relationships in that specific context. Because the interracial relationships here don't necessarily carry that context. So when I saw it was coming here, I was like, why? Why?
Mm.
And I kind of knew the response that it would get and is getting that response. And I'm like, yeah, because why would you have this play here? But as a play, like, it's an entertaining watch. It's entertaining and then lots of shock value.
Okay.
Because apparently, it's all about, like, role play.
Yeah.
Are you guys ever going to watch it?
I'm not going to watch it.
Okay, so the premise of it, I'm going to explain it. So someone that hasn't watched it, which is crazy. So there are three couples, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a black woman, white man, black woman, and then a gay interracial couple as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they are all like, we're watching like a therapy session basically.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, like an open therapy session with all the couples. And they've all engaged in race. But that's what pissed me off when they could have called it something else, but they intentionally called it slave play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about that but it's the race play that's all based on like a plantation, it's all like slavery. Yeah. And it's like, why does everyone want to do it? Like, what's the thought process behind it? And
okay.
When I heard that, I was like, oh, thank God I did not spend £40.
Yeah.
Mm. That was my first thought when I came to my mind. I was like, God, I could have parted with money for this, you know?
Mm.
I think the only interracial plays that we should get.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
What?
No, I haven't.
You think I'm making a joke?
Yeah, 100%.
I'm trying to be serious.
Okay, no, go on.
I'm trying to be serious, yeah. I can't look at you like that. I feel like the only interracial like type stories I should tell is stories of white women getting Nigerian surnames.
I
was so close to doing it clean. You have to stop it.
I just know because nothing good that could have come out of your mouth. Interracial.
I would have gotten away with it. Worth a few meddling kids. That's a really, really good way to end that segment. Because we want to transition into like I'm interested to know how one transitions from like theatre into like navigating the world of film and TV. And like, are those skills as a producer like transferable or are they not? Like, how does that sort of...
First tell us what it means to be a producer.
That's a really good place to start, actually.
Boy, who knows?
Right. Thank you for that.
I feel
that
like...
helps us out, to be fair.
But I think that is generally the vibe. So someone actually wrote an article like a couple months ago that I read that was called Everyone is a Producer. And it basically talked about how like there were so many producer titles for no reason. And it's just because people are like, yeah, I'm a producer on this thing. And you don't know what they did because they didn't do anything. And so now it's just like a title that has some kind of importance. And people are like, yeah, I'm going to be an exec on this or I'm going to be a whatever. And then everyone's like, so what did you do? And they're just like,
I feel like I've seen that a lot in films lately. Like you just see,
you'll
like,
see 1,000 producers and you're like, so which one is the one that like did the thing?
That's
did
like the producing. Daddy's, yeah. So Natalie Nunn is exec producer. And then, there's one season that Tommy Lee is a producer. And she keeps making like, I produced this show. But like, you're also starring. But yeah. Natalie Nunn is also like a pimp. Is it? Yeah. Is a pimp.
Like I saw Channing Tatum get a producer credit for Blink Twice recently. Mm. But Zoe Kravitz kind of explained it and said he was given an insight into like the concepts of being a powerful man, and because that's who he plays in the film, which kind of like made sense because he was given her direction from how a man might act in particular instances. It's a film I'd definitely recommend.
Why would he admit to that?
What do you mean?
Why would he be like, yeah, I was really insightful on Blink Twice? Like,
no, she did. Zoe Kravitz was the one that came out and said that, like, he helped her out in the film.
And they're together.
Yeah.
No, but he's not admitting to being Diddy, bruv.
Yeah, but that's crazy to be like, oh, yeah, I know what powerful men get up to.
No, but I know as a man, let's talk about like relationships, okay? Like I know how men can be in manipulating.
I don't agree with this angle. I'm not
have you said that before?
I know. Crazy.
God.
I know how men can be when like manipulating, I guess, you know, for women to get what they want, right? Okay, it doesn't mean that I am that perpetrator, right? But like he's in a very good position to have worked around a bunch of massive directors, okay, massive co-stars, and he's probably been like very very aware of those like stitches, or if he's not like aware of it, he can see where it can happen. And I guess that's the difference. Like it doesn't have to be him, but yeah.
And it's probably be more privy to hearing conversation of men like that talking a certain way when women are not there. They might say stuff to him or around him that women might not hear. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. But I get it on this.
You're just a pessimist.
I get on some projects though, like obviously, like if someone being attached to it who is like a big star helps get something greenlit or funny.
Mm.
Whatever. Anyway.
Yeah,
she mentioned, she mentioned that as well. She actually mentioned that.
Elbow on Shifters.
Yeah.
I feel like you wanted to say more. But carry on.
No, but yeah, it's sort of like, do you know what? I was actually thinking about, what's it called?
Drake on Top Boy.
That.
you want this one happening, isn't it? Yeah.
I was thinking about the film that he's attached to that David is producing for his company.
Oh, the
book adaptation.
What's it called? Oh, yeah.
Pigeon in that one.
The you're about Saxon thing. I can't remember the name of the.
You know exactly what it's called, and you know that's the name. And you know that's the
things
name.
Things Fall Apart. That's what it's called. Things Fall Apart.
Oh, he's doing Things Fall Apart.
Yeah. He's starring in.
I don't know how to feel about that.
No one knows how to feel about it.
I know how to feel.
Have you read the book?
I know how to feel.
Why would they not get Ibo Man to start on? Anyways.
Anyway.
For the same reason he's at the beginning of Ashake's thing, yeah? Speaking the pigeon. Who? Why have we got a
Saturday
night speaking the pigeon when it could just
be. Idris Elba was an Ashake show.
Basically, there's like he's got like a mini video from skating.
Basically, does the interlude in Ashake's concert.
And it makes no sense
because. Idris is my guy, but that sounds like a bit too busy.
I think he wants a monopoly on everything African.
It sounds a bit too busy for me, man. Like, yeah. he can
it feels like he wants a monopoly of everything African.
And that show that he had in like 2018 is now like officially on Netflix.
What show?
The one where it's like, me and so is doing so well. That one.
When he's a DJ,
I don't even know what
his accent's way too strong for him to be doing any kind of African accent.
That shit is bullshit.
He's starting things,
yeah,
and he's the main guy.
I don't know. He might not be
okay, but
just give Idris benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, exactly. He might not be. We never know. But
I love Idris.
That's my guy, innit?
I do love Idris, but he's done some questionable things.
That's the problem because we all love him, and that's the reason.
Hey.
Because I love him too. Yeah. That's the problem.
But he's done questionable things.
I fucking love Hijack. I spoke about how much I love Hijack.
Hijack.
Why can he never just focus on what I want him to focus on?
Yeah. Hey, Hijack.
The same reason that I'm not gonna watch Skepta tell us about his like awakening Africanism. I'm not watching it.
Fair.
Yeah. I mean, we shall see.
You've worked with some huge companies, though, man. Like,
what? Listen, I'm not losing this bag at all. People
not getting fired.
Not me,
I do the same thing.
No, yeah.
Fuck. Remember the disclaimers we do when we slate
a Netflix film?
I'm like, but we still want to work.
Yeah,
naturally. Fuck that. But you have worked with some important, like, companies in our sort of sphere, BFI, Channel 4, BBC, Film 4, Netflix, some huge entities in our world. Firstly, should we do a round of, yeah, we'd do that. That's what we do round here, you know what I'm saying?
Damn.
You have to get used to that round here.
I not have that level of attention, man. I'll make you guys do 5 minutes. And it's here, man. Keep going.
I feel like I'm going to ask you one of those like cliche questions, but like, what's it like as a black woman navigating those spaces? Like, and I think it is important to ask. And you're laughing at me.
I'm sorry, this question's always so funny.
They are,
funny,
isn't it?
But it's just so funny.
They are, but like,
because the answer's always like, well, she doesn't know how to navigate it anything other than the black woman. Sorry, I'm not speaking for you.
Yeah, you are.
No, you're good.
You have a different personality with different hairs, don't you?
Me.
If you had blue hair, you wouldn't be saying this.
The reason is different because we all internalize things from a different perspective. Right. So you might be someone that's quite like front forward and like, yeah, I'm gonna tackle everything this way, but not everyone is like you. So yeah, what was how is it like working with those? Firstly, like, do you feel like, oh wow, I've worked with these guys, or is it like not a big deal for you now?
No, it's still like, oh, this is really cool. Do you know what I mean? I feel like when you...
This is really cool.
Do you know what I'm saying? Let
me get my shit off.
Right.
Oh my
it's
God.
It's not bad. It's all right.
It's all right.
You do great PR for Yoruba women. You know, because you're so meek and humble, and I love this.
It's the gunny inside.
Do you know... Do you know what it is? It's like when you're like growing up and you see brands like Nike and you're like, oh my God,
right,
I'd love to work with them. And then you work with them and you're like, oh, it's just a bunch of people that don't know what they're doing. Like...
That's it really just, is that though, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Then you, the like, I guess like the rose tinted glasses just come off and you're just like,
yeah.
Oh, like, it's obviously like very cool, but I feel like it's cooler from the outside because it looks like
everyone sees the flowers and
one entity that does really amazing things and not the inside of just like a bunch of people with different opinions and some of them are great and some of them aren't. So but that doesn't like detract from, oh, like, this is amazing that I've gotten to like make the things that I want to make with these people.
That's interesting though. You say, well, I want to make. So how does one get into that space of like, I'm gonna, rather than being dictated to, I can sort of rubber stamp what I want to do?
Do you know what? It's I don't know. I feel like I've spent a long time just like making the stuff that I want to make, that it's hard to like see how I would not do that. Like, I get it from a perspective of, like, I need to earn a bag, or I need a certain credit, or this is going to get me in with this kind of, like, strategy, basically. Mm-hmm. And, like, let me just do this because it's going to allow me to do that. But I feel like I've always, regardless of the industry that I've been in, I've always made the stuff that I think is good. Mm-hmm. Even if other people think it's trash. Like,
oh, you're one of those, you don't care.
Not that I don't care, but I feel like, especially as a producer, you just have to love the thing that you're making, because right. you're not getting paid millions to do the thing. Like, a lot of the time, like, producer fees are being deferred, or like they're spread across a project, and you could be on that project for 5 years. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So it's like, you just have to love the thing to want to make it, because you're going to be on it for a very, very long time.
Right.
Even if it's a short film, like the film For Short that we're just finishing, I've been on for like a year.
And tell us about that. Well, what can you say?
It's set in Nigeria, and it's about a mum who's moved to the UK. So she's left her daughter in Nigeria, and she sends for her daughter, and it's basically set on the road as the daughter and the aunt and the aunt's partner are driving to the airport, basically discussing, like, is it the best thing for a child to leave somewhere where they call home to come to the UK, and obviously, like, the colonial relationship between the UK and Nigeria, and, like, what would happen if all those people, like, stayed? Mm-hmm. Really and truly, like, and obviously we don't know, like, I don't think there's going to be this, like, huge utopia, but a lot of people have that experience of, like, being sent for and coming here at a really young age, and then coming here to, like, fuckery, basically. Do you know what I mean? Like, to, like, a madness. So it basically, like, it is basically about that, but it's like, yeah, I've been on that for over a year, it's and mad. That film is like 20 minutes long. It's like,
it's mad.
That's how long the thing takes. Yeah. It's like, if you don't love it, you're gonna be dying. Like, you're gonna be dying trying to, like, get that thing finished. So it's, I just can't imagine working on something that I'm not invested in, because it just won't, I just don't see how that thing would get made. I have to constantly talk about that thing to everyone. I have to sell it to people. I have to make them think it's, like, the best thing ever to get it funded, or to get whatever the thing is that I'm trying to get. So yeah, I'm just, but obviously I can work on, like, other things and be like, this is okay, but it's also part of a strategy thing. I don't think I would, like, work on something where I've read the script and be like, this is trash, but it's with this company, so I'll do it anyway, because that's still,
yeah,
people are gonna be like, why did you work on that? Do you know what I mean? Listen to my friends on their podcast being like, did you watch this? It was trash.
But we still love it, though.
And if I can't even, like, back it up, then it's just peak. Like, even if you guys thought something that I did was trash, as long as I can be here and be like, oh, but this is what I really loved about it.
Yeah.
Then I'd be content with that. But if it's like, yeah, man, that was shit. It's like,
we literally had this discussion this morning, so it's quite interesting. What are you most proud of in terms of your work? I see Owambe's there, Dating Horror Stories, as one of the few things. Why did you laugh as I said
this
that?
Is what you said, Owambe.
Oh, did I mispronounce it?
That was not someone I said. I shouldn't have laughed at you.
I mean, I laugh at you, you laugh at me, that's fine.
That's not necessary. That's fine. Mean.
How would you pronounce it?
Pardon?
How would you?
She doesn't know how to pronounce it. No, it's Owambe. I already said it. That's
say it again. Like, why so quick?
Owambe. Like, that's how you say it.
Okay. Owambe. Is that how you say it, Toby?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm not gonna.
That's
say
how
it
I would say it.
I still got, like, a London accent.
Yeah.
I say my name is Basola.
So, sometimes I forget that you're black. It's a Leicester.
I'm actually sad. Oh, buddy.
So funny, because
I was about to start a travel mark too. My man out here in the waking.
Who's gonna be? Who's gonna act as you?
Who would star as, like, as me?
Halle Berry.
No. Yeah, but Margot Robbie.
Barbie's her favourite film, to be fair.
It's actually not, guys. Legally Blonde.
Sorry, Reese
so just white women then. You just really have a thing for white women.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Nah, I really don't.
It's a power thing.
What is your problem? I actually don't have a thing. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Toby.
We've already asked a question that needs answering, so you might want to wait a second.
Ooh. Oh, God.
Well, sorry, what's the question again?
Exactly.
Some of your... go ahead then, sir. Besides.
Oh. I think I like different projects for different reasons.
Okay.
So.
Saying,
no, no, I, but I don't it's have a true.
Yeah. You know damn well that last born is a piece of shit.
Are you the last child?
Yeah. I'm actually
I think it's true. Like, there are some projects where, like, the process was, like, very, very, very hard. Yeah. But the output of that, like, How to Be a Person, we produced that. That was my first thing that I was doing other than one short film.
Is that the one that got you a BAFTA?
Exactly.
Big prayer.
So it had like, thank you. It had an amazing, like, I think it came out really well. It's had an amazing life and it's done really amazing things. That shit was hard. It was during the in-out lockdowns, first of all, and it's a show about intimacy. So we're working with young actors because it was about young people, but they had to be over the age of 18 because of the content. So some of them had never been on screen before. Like, it was hard and I was learning on that job. Do you know what I mean? It was a baptism of fire. So that process was crazy, but the output was like amazing. So I loved that project because I think it's a great project. But then like Dating Horror Stories, I had the most fun on that.
I can imagine.
It was just like the best writers. Like, it was just so, it was just such a fun project to make. And it's just so silly. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
Fun TV.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need that though, right?
So it's just like... So I love that.
That's my mantra.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, sometimes it's just like, let's make... And there was... When we were making that, it's like, there's so much out there already about dating. Like, on TV, or like content, or like everyone and their mom is like...
Oh, in group chats.
Yeah.
We have to do this a lot. We go through this a lot.
Yeah. I feel like that was a good joke.
Who was that directed to? That?
Yeah.
To everyone. Like, there's a lot of dating content in group chats. People will message you about group chat. It must be directed at you because I don't have group chats.
Wait, when we don't talk about us personally.
I know, it was just a joke in general.
But it has to have some substance, my brother.
Do you know what's mad, yeah?
So you don't ask group chats, so I feel like...
I'm cutting Toby off for a second, yeah? Last night, I'll send you your voice note. I'll send you the group chat voice note with me. You enjoyed it. Half of the first
night.
I got a FaceTime call.
As in...
Huh?
Wait, who?
John,
I thought you meant.
You've met him before. You've been in Eden the other day, actually.
Yeah, I was sending a voice note. And during a voice note about said person, calls, so I never got to send it.
Oh, man. That would have been a good update.
That would have been a good update. Yeah, it's a shame. I even started off, it's been a while since I did.
My boy.
Yeah.
I haven't messaged you, my boy.
Well, yeah, you did.
My boy.
Anyway, sorry, Toby.
We should start FaceTiming more, guys.
No shit.
No, I'm not into that.
What?
No. I don't mind phone calls.
You don't like FaceTimes?
Mm-mm.
I love FaceTimes.
Especially if it's random. It's a bit like... It feels like CCTV to me. Like, it's just a bit too much.
No, it's perfect.
It's quite invasive.
Exactly.
Nah.
Okay.
Hush. The floor is yours. He wasn't meant to be on the pod today. We exercised... excommunicated him, but he's still here.
So. But he has
a mic.
I own the bitch.
Yeah, Toby went in.
Regardless. No, obviously, I've been, like, preparing you for a long time. You know what I mean? Like,
Could you use better words?
All right, I've been watching you for so long.
This is season 5 of you.
He's a FaceTimer.
He's a capture.
No, he literally has CCTV. It's not FaceTime.
He's a capture man.
Obviously, like, because, you know, like, I'm trying to get into the industry that you're doing, okay, and that kind of stuff, you know, and obviously, like, in over the years, there's not a lot of people that look like us that are in these spaces and that kind of stuff, okay, which is obviously sick. But recently, in the past, like, year or so, okay, I've kind of stepped into it a lot more, right? And then I'm seeing people, everyone that's given me a shot is, like, someone that looks like us but is, like, 55. You know what I mean? And they're just like, they've been there, they've done it, okay, and that kind of stuff, yeah. When you're on set, okay, as the producer, you probably have the role that connects you to probably every department, you know, whereas like the other departments don't really communicate too tough with certain people and blah, blah. When you are picking a project, what are like the 2-3 departments that like you are most concerned about or like all that you make sure are so dope that you can step into?
Lighting.
Okay.
I'm just like, one, there are some gaffers that are just bad vibes and I'm like, I don't need that energy. gaffers and grips. Sometimes I'm like, what's wrong with you? Like, be happy. Do you know what I mean? Like, this should be fun. But also, you need to know how to, like, black skin. That's largely the people that I'm working with.
Yeah.
Our DOP, because they're also going to bring in the rest of the camera team. And I don't... My ideal is not to just have, like, a camera team of white men. So that's really important to me. And obviously, like, stylistically, there's a lot that's dictated there. And actually, maybe those are, like, my top two. I think the others are really important, but I feel like where you're most likely to find the most black people is hair and makeup and costume. It's also where you're going to find the most women.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like me suggesting black hair and makeup artists, people are gonna be like, yeah, yeah, sure. It's an easier yes there. Whereas like with the other departments, there's a lot of yeah, but I usually work with this person.
Yeah.
Like when we were shooting in the short in Nigeria, our DOP was white.
In Nigeria.
Yeah, but he's also shot in Nigeria before. And I was like, actually, I need people that have shot here before. I cannot be dealing with someone that's going to be, oh my God, like, there's already too much going on. Mm-hmm. And there's already chaos that I know is about to ensue. So bring people that just know the land. That was actually my priority. And his first AC was a white man and his second AC was a black woman. So I was like, yeah, cool. Okay. Do you know what I mean? But that's what I needed for that specific project. It will kind of be different depending on the project, but the main thing is I just need everyone to be problem solvers. Like, bring me problems, yeah, but then come with the solutions. Don't just complain at me. Mm-hmm. And good vibes. Like, yeah. I don't know, like the grumpy people, I'm just a bit like, you don't actually have to be here. Like, you could have said no. Yeah. And it's not like I wasn't begging you to do this job. Yeah. But those two departments for me are really important because I think stylistically they dictate everything and obviously they talk a lot. And I think they also largely dictate a lot of the vibes on the set as well.
Last year I worked on Gram Kids. They had two black directors, obviously black writer.
Yeah.
And then pretty much everybody else was white. Right, pretty much. Like the producer that obviously that got us in was black as well. Okay, she was lovely, but like everybody else was but the kids, obviously it was, I think 90% of them was like their first time on screen. And that's their, like, that's their big thing. You can tell immediately that when they saw like my crew, like they connected to us straight away, you know. And like every time they saw us, they would like, they would come over and blah blah blah. Do you feel like when you're doing these things, okay, and you're creating like a culture on set, right, that making the cast comfortable is mainly your job out of like everybody else there, because you like meet them early doors, do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then obviously throughout the process, even afterwards as well. So yeah
definitely. Like I think yes and no. I think it's definitely my job to the point of where they get on set, and then there are more people that are also responsible for that. Like they're actually probably gonna have more contact with hair and makeup, with sound, than they are with me, because those are people that are going to be literally touching them, close to them. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's my responsibility to obviously like make sure that is maintained, like the relationship that I've built with them in the process of casting,
excuse me,
meeting them early and all that kind of stuff through to when they're on set. But then there are just so many more people that are gonna have much more close contact with them that it's like then my job to make sure that those people are good people, or they're at least surrounded by people who have their best interests at heart. And so, but also like I just worked on a feature. Everyone was white, but everyone was really lovely. Yeah. Like, I've honestly never met the most, like, loveliest group of white people. Like,
this is Pallion.
Yeah. It was, like, incredible vibes from, like, and I had the most amazing relationships with, like, the geezers that were like driving the buses who were like in their 50s, proper like, oh, how you what are you doing, baby, right? They were fully those type of guys. And those were like my G's. Through, like, I gripped the loveliest guy. It was just like locations, some of the departments where you're just like, this is where I might find like the most dickheads. Like, they were just lovely. So it's a choice to actually just be an asshole.
Yeah.
And working in an industry where you have to be around people all day, every day. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, it's not like it's not feasible. And I think actually with those group of people, I would have felt comfortable bringing Blackcast onto that set because they were great at their job, but they were also just like really nice people.
Yeah.
So at that point, yeah, it's my job to make sure that that's maintained, especially if there's like heavy like intimate scenes or like things that are just like really difficult. Like they're about to do like a really big scene that is one, it's like two pages of them just talking and they're having to do that again and again and again. But at some point it's sort of like, it's actually everyone else's job to like make sure that they're cool. Do you know what I mean?
Thank you. That's really cool. Yeah. But to you guys?
A lot of that host made that question about himself.
Yeah.
So,
that was a really good question.
It was a good question. But love made about himself.
He's a bit. Manny's a bit.
It was a good question. But love made about
that's how you ask a question. Yeah, I mean, okay, that's like a junket question.
It was a very good
question. You know what I'm saying?
But okay, I love how you made about yourself.
It. No, that's what you have to feel like you're connected.
Yeah, yeah.
Another master class.
This is crazy.
Get me, okay?
We have company. Can we behave?
This is blasphemy.
That's their relationship.
Yeah, yeah. It's like bad.
Yeah, he's just jealous that we have a tighter bond now.
And that's fine with me.
Because, you know, he's been complimenting you so much, you haven't said one thing about him yet, which is fine.
And that's fine, she doesn't need to.
Oh my God, why am I being thrown under the bus?
No, she doesn't need to. You know when the love is strong, she doesn't have to compliment me. I know how she feels, that's good.
You're comfortable.
100%.
100%.
Yeah, that's so unnecessary. That's the thing, yeah.
Manny,
yes.
Quick one. I got a question for you.
Of course. Just
list off some of your favorite. Remember the episode we did like with Ore?
Yeah.
I want to know your top three British shows, bro. Go off.
Top three British shows. Off the top of my head.
Top three.
This is not cement. This is not cement. Was it what?
About to say a bunch of American shows like you did
Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington. I didn't say Denzel Washington. I said that.
You're gonna say The Wire. Good episode. Good shows, to be fair.
Misfits. Misfits. Do you know what? Yeah. Let me take it back. Let me take it back here. Yeah. I used to love off Kitching.
Oh.
I used to love off Kitching.
Kitching.
The young kid that was in school.
Shot.
And he ended up in the
end. You're like a ponytail.
He never watched it.
He ended up in the standards, though, right?
Was he EastEnders?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
it's
he
okay.
Was.
It's okay. It's not your fault.
Well, it's not your
fault.
When Kitching was out, she wasn't even born, so it's okay. She's like 12 years old. Yes, the guy that always...
I realise where we're going. That's why I stay silent. You guys are
Did you see one of the TikTok? Because we won one of our boys' podcasts and we're talking about 103,000. I mentioned Nas at the beginning.
Yeah.
And somebody replied with like, oh, 103,000 and Nas are your favourite rappers, you old ass niggas. Few futures to go. But yeah, Kitching, one of the comes to mind. Like, I used to love off that show, like Bears. I say Misfits.
What's that one with the time clock thing?
This nigga's got no British shows on his list, man.
When it stops time.
Bernard's Watch.
I don't think I watched that.
Solid.
Did you guys ever used to watch The Queen's Nose?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard about that recently.
You heard about that recently.
Give it a rest. What are you talking about?
Someone said the best shows. It was Receipts Podcast.
Okay.
But like, when they discuss certain things, I'm like, yeah, I have no clue.
I mean, the WH. Just,
like, would you pride herself on never being in touch with us? She's a British 40 and she always goes on, I'm like, this is way, like, after my time.
Yeah. No, it was a good show. Those are the first ones that come to mind. They're not my favourite, but those are the first ones that come to mind.
Really? Skins? Did you ever watch Skins?
I didn't.
Skins is fucking...
I didn't.
Okay. Wow. Oh my God.
I'm so happy this is not an episode of Tossing's on.
It's
You're missing what guys are saying. That's the problem.
That's fine.
It's fine anyway. Yeah, sorry. What's your...
what are your favourite?
Skins would be a great watch for you.
Yeah, I planned... Actually
that is
to watch
like
it.
One of my top tips.
Actually planned. You know people... Like, I've watched like bits and pieces, but I haven't like watched it from...
I saw people comparing Industry to Skins. I've never seen Skins, so I don't know.
Were the Americans or British people?
I've never seen Skins, so I don't know.
I kind of understand why, but it's not really... Yeah. Kind of, but not really.
Like, I watched bits and pieces, but I haven't, like, sat down and watched it from beginning to end.
Industry is written by an American black man.
No, it's one of the black men is British. He's a British man, right?
It's a British-American show. It's like a duality of both. That's why it's...
But the writer, the black writer is British, right? I'm pretty sure.
Because there's two people involved in the creation of it, so yeah.
I was going to say, because it feels so British. If it was a black...
No, 100%.
He's done a really good job. Now I realize he's British, I'm like, oh, you just...
Yeah, he's working finance.
He's working
finance. I remember someone make a joke, is like, yeah, he worked in finance, and then he said that, oh, my guy worked in finance, so white people were at this wild, and giving her this to write a whole TV show on the back of it. I was like, that's literally what happened. But yeah, Toby?
I have to give more.
Oh, your favorite TV shows, yeah.
Go. I'm trying to think of all the shows that I've watched. That are British. That is actually what's tripping me up.
Damn. They're not the British people.
We'll go to Basola, you give us yours and then we'll come back to you.
Okay, so top three.
Here we go.
Number one's always been Misfits.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Special place in my heart. Desmond's, but for the fact that it's the only thing that I used to watch with my mum.
That's nice.
And we live around the corner from where it was actually, from like Desmond's Barbershop, formerly Desmond's Barbershop.
Mm.
And then number three. I don't really know. Maybe Game of Thrones?
British.
American.
They're not British.
It's American.
It's American.
They're all speaking in British accents.
They got British actors, but it's definitely...
It's American.
That's a British show. I don't care. That's a British show.
She's just claiming it. It's fine.
You can't all be British. The cast can't all be British. Half of it is set in, like, Europe.
A made up continent.
Yeah. Sorry.
Written by an American writer.
Mm-mm.
By an American production company. But American showrunners...
That's a British show. Sorry, Game of Thrones is a British show. I don't care what anyone says to me. That's who I'm so gladly gonna die on.
Okay,
fair. I'm gonna name like The Bill. And mainly because I feel like it inspired a lot of like the other shows that I really love as an adult.
Love,
I love my crime stuff, innit?
Yeah,
The Bill. I love.
There's
sorry.
A new one on.
Do you ever watch?
It's also where a lot of black actors...
Forgive me for a second.
Yeah, it's true. A lot of British young black... Yeah, right. What was you going to say, man?
No, I'll find the name, but...
Probably. Everyone was in The Bill at some point, you know?
So I'm going to say The Bill. Who's the guy that was in Boxing Day film?
Emil Amin.
Yeah.
He came from The Bill as well.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, The Bill, I'm going to say Line of Duty.
I did very much like Line of Duty.
Did you ever watch Bad Girls?
What are you, ITV, right?
Bro,
that series,
that Bad Girls, the one about women in prison. Women in prison.
It's like our version of Orange is the New Black.
Yeah.
Come like, yeah,
guys. No.
Last finally won.
No, not Klopp.
Bad Girls.
It was our version of Orange is
the
New Black.
The one that was set in prison.
Yeah.
I did watch that.
I love
Footballers' Wives.
Yeah. Dream Team. Oh, Dream Team was...
Wait, Dream Team was... The Sky show, right?
Stream Team was on Sky. Footballer's Wife was on...
Footballer's Wives was sick, man. With Tanya. Sorry, I'm thinking of... Jeez.
And there was a crossover between Bad Girls and Footballer's Wives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm
going to
watch that, guys.
No, you... I think you would like Bad Girls.
You would like... Yeah, of course you would. What are you talking about?
I typed in Bad Girls. First one that came up was Club. And I'm really disappointed in myself.
That's okay. But yeah, go on. Your third?
You name three?
No, I name two.
Oh, sorry.
I've got a list, though. So I should do better than this.
I've got, like... Current one, like The Capture, I love.
Insane. Shout out Papa, my fucking guy.
So good.
He's brilliant.
Yeah. He's one of my favourite British actors right now.
Yes.
Yeah. I saw him at Death of England, one or two. I don't care that much about the show, but I do appreciate his acting.
Yeah.
Great actor.
Capture's good.
Did you guys ever watch Femme?
No, but you're talking about the short film.
He's
in the short film.
I didn't see the short.
I only saw the...
Good. That's when I fell in love with them.
Have you watched the full film?
No.
It's got Nathan from...
I'm going to watch it now because like I like the first one. So
It's a good film. I really like film.
Yeah.
Film is so good. I meant to talk to you guys about this. I watched all of 5 seconds of it.
No, I'm going to listen to
it. Did you guys ever watch Platform 7?
No.
Is the French film?
No, on Ava Channel 4 ITV.
No, I didn't watch it.
It's got Jasmine Johnson.
Jasmine Johnson, yeah.
I need to watch that something else, yeah.
And it's about like this lady, I think she's dead, I don't really know. And she's like stuck on this platform. And she can't leave, but she has to like stay on this platform. There's a whole thing.
Is she like a ghost or something?
I don't really know, but I think we should all watch it.
Okay, I'm
that's fair.
Can we all actually watch it and like finish it? Like,
can you just message us and remind me, please?
No problem, because we want to finish Industry. Guys, enough is
enough. I'm on episode 5, I'm close.
Okay, thank you. The last episode, I need to discuss it with someone.
I'll finish it by the end.
It's an easy get through, to be fair. Mm-hmm. What was you going to say, Manny?
I wanted to mention something, because obviously transitioning from Toby going from theatre to TV and film. And we've had like quite... We had Baby Reindeer, that was originally a theatre show.
Mm.
We've also had Fleabag, that was originally a theatre show.
Mm.
And...
finished Fleabag.
Wait, hold it. We'll talk. That's one of my favourite TV shows.
Right, well, you got that.
Fleabag's very good.
Okay. I'll just look at it. Chewing Gum, that was obviously thingy. Yeah. Question for Toby. What theatre shows have you watched that you want to see turn into a TV show? And we also have Shifters that'll be coming a TV show soon.
Yeah.
Oh, mm.
Shout out to Benedict Alombe. We don't know yet. We don't know the cast yet. It's not going to be the same people. I don't
know, but now I'm so committed to it being Tosin. It might upset me. I'm not in a bad way. Yeah. Just like I can't see it past him. And Baby's well, she's really good. I just don't remember.
I love Tosin in it, but I think Heather is my favourite out of the two in the show. Yeah.
She's amazing.
Yeah. But yeah.
Did you see My Father's Fable?
Yes, I did see My Father's Fable.
I would love to see that.
Oh, fair enough. I saw it before the press night, so I should have gone and watched it afterwards. But I did really like it, but I knew it was going to be better afterwards.
Yeah, I saw it towards the end. I feel like, yeah, I could just see that being super interesting.
Interesting, yeah.
Because it's very character-driven.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and some
it's written really, really well as well.
Unlikable characters as well. Like, that protagonist, like...
I think all of them are unlikable.
Apart from the husband. But the daughter, there are times where you're just like, what's wrong with
you? What's wrong with you, yeah.
And I love that. I love them.
But you get why she's like character. That.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So it's not just like, oh, you're messy and you're dumb. Do you know what I mean? It's just I get why.
There's a lot of repressed feelings and trauma.
There's a lot going on, do you know what I mean? So I would love
My Father's Fable
to see that, like, because on the screen, I feel like that would be really good.
Okay, interesting.
Two things we've got to talk about before we wrap up. Huge accolades and awards list for you. Jeez. Right? Why did you look so stoic as I mentioned?
She is.
No, yeah. I
can tell you can't stand it.
I was wondering what was coming from this.
I wanted to know which one of your awards or sort of accolades you're most proud of. You've got Forbes.
Definitely 30. The BAFTA.
I thought you were going to do that. They all mean different things to me. Oh, wow.
No.
Instead, I'll find you a straight answer.
I'm surprised. We got that quickly. Anything else you
get it helps us out. Yeah, talk to us about the BAFTA, man.
Like, it's just an insane thing to have in your house.
For sure.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, especially if you grew up seeing it as like, this like massive thing. Although I will say the television BAFTAs are like the second cousin to like the real BAFTAs, which is the film BAFTAs.
Second cousin.
Yeah, I feel like you didn't have to bring it up.
No. Because
the BAFTA's still a BAFTA.
100%. But it's true. But it's like, you know, it's one of the like highest accolades you could have.
For sure. Yeah.
So to have one in your house is like, oh shit, this is crazy.
Mm. Especially if on a show that you're proud of as well.
It's on a shelf. And also it could be used as like a weapon.
Okay.
Because it's like really
just
heavy.
In case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Typical from a South Londoner.
I knew that.
Wow.
And the worst thing is I knew that I could feel momentum took
me there.
You're
not forward thinking. Listen.
Manny said two things to me before we wrap up the pod. Yeah. He said to me, the first thing is that you're a very proud South Londoner. So I love that.
Girl.
Facts.
Because I'm a South Londoner too. And oh, so are you sick? Sir, forgot, man. Yeah. And secondly, you have a thing about men with podcasts.
Yeah.
So luckily we've got Bisoli. That's the only reason she's here.
Yeah.
It was meant to be yesterday, but he had to draft him.
I'm a champion of the whole Ban Men with podcasts.
Talk to us about that.
I just, you lot chat too much. I want to go back to a time where I didn't know what you lot were thinking. Mm. Like, and it was like, if I wanted to know, it was a choice, like, because I would ask.
Thanks, Manny, for making us set up this podcast 2.5 to 3 years ago.
You're forcing it on her. Yeah, fair. She messaged me, he's like, I can't believe one of my closest friends is a podcaster.
Yeah, man. crazy. My partner's a podcaster.
Yeah.
Mad.
Yeah, but when they have niche podcasts, it does make like a bit of a difference.
It's yeah, 100%.
Because God forbid they're like doing like pop or like regular culture. Yeah. Like,
I can't lie.
God forbid a podcast where we talk about dating and jumping at the beginning of the podcast.
God
forbid.
I can't lie though, there's such an interesting transition when like when women ask like, oh, what do you do? I'll be like, oh yeah. A 9 to 5. I'll be like, oh yeah, I've got a 9 to 5. Do you do anything else? Of interest.
What are your hobbies?
I was like, yeah, I talk about film and TV. Oh, where? I've got a podcast.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Then, but then, no, it's beautiful because it shifts. What's your podcast about, film and TV? The way they change? Oh,
yeah.
It's beautiful.
A man of a hobby, God bless you, but like it has to be a niche podcast.
100%.
You have to be forced to talk about only one thing.
Yeah.
The minute you're allowed to start talking about
in general, yeah.
It gets too much. Oh, there was like, it up. So my partner's podcast also.
Shout out to Outtick.
Shout out to Outtick.
Round of applause, yes.
They have a quiz coming up, so go cop that quiz.
Come to the Black Pop Quiz.
But what's like, the one you sent me?
Yeah,
it's gonna be vibes.
I support black businesses.
But he, on one of his episodes, he started talking about the gym, and I was like, no. because that is the gateway drug.
It is, but like, that's super shit.
It's the gateway
did,
drug.
Did you tell him this?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the gym is fair enough because it's exactly where they should be. Filming, TV, gym, home. You don't need anything else. And work, obviously. But
I agree. But like, make some money to well. Start yeah. talking about that on the podcast is the gateway drug.
Oh, yeah.
It will, you know it leads to the crack.
Oh, why you go gym? It's oh, because of girls, you know? Yesterday, to be fair. No, I'm joking.
You're ridiculous.
So what's up?
And your pride in South London. I think it's a thing all South Londoners can relate to be honest. Mm-hmm. Well, most people will say they're proud of where they're from, but I feel like South Londoners are loud.
Yeah.
Yeah, so are you one of those?
100%.
Yeah.
Have to be.
There's something about being from South London and being Nigerian. I feel like there's a level of patriotism.
She's also Ghanaian.
Exactly. Nigerian and from South London. I haven't met a single patriotic. They're such humble and simple people. Only Nigerians are we're truly the worst.
That, yeah.
Yeah, you guys are.
Changing how I am.
It's true. Like, it's true.
Yeah, you guys are really bad.
They're insufferable.
I think we could easily do another episode at some point, maybe like next year, with you coming back on, if you wanted to, of course. If you've enjoyed
it. Oh, she has no choice.
I thought this was so dope. You haven't even.
This was a kidnapping.
I know, for a fact, he's going to want to be on that pod.
Yeah, that's
but there's so much more for us to dive into. But yeah, we want to thank you for joining us today, for sure.
Awards.
Okay, cool.
Ooh, that would be really cool. Because for the Oscars this year, me and my friends did like a sweepstake.
Yeah.
I actually need to claim my money from that, actually.
Oh, you won?
I won.
What was your sweepstake?
There was like all the nominees and we basically had to guess who would win what in each category.
Which ones did you get right?
Oh, I can't remember. But I got like most of them right.
I got some of my Emmys ones right.
Oh.
I really knew Shogun was going to clean up.
100%.
Oh, 1,000%.
Yeah. I was showing up but like, my friends were like, yeah, it's going to do well because it's good. But I was like, no, it's going to do really well.
Yeah.
And they were like, this is... Have you guys watched it? Yeah, you're just like...
It's really
do you guys like The Bear?
Yeah.
There we go. I've seen your tweet.
Oh no!
You don't like The Bear.
Guys, you haven't seen the tweet.
That show.
I think I messaged about it.
That show is phenomenal. Man.
How much have you watched?
I got to season 2 episode something and I gave up.
You're sick.
I called it a day.
So, did you watch Forks?
I haven't reached. Forks.
You haven't watched Forks. You haven't watched Fishes.
But guys, this can't be the only this not. Episode. Like...
No, but the whole show is good. The whole
you know,
show is good.
The pinnacle or something. Do you know what I mean? Those are like the pinnacle.
Yeah,
episodes.
Pinnacles. But the whole show is good. I don't know about your opinion. No.
You're making me upset.
There's some stuff that you said in the past that really questioned me.
I thought she was the goat.
Yeah. She still is the goat.
It's just
the questionable goat.
But, no, she's the goat, but she has questionable opinions.
And it's not that funny.
No, it's.
No, sorry.
I don't see it as. I don't think it should be in the comedy section.
That is just disrespectful.
Yeah, I think that is.
I feel like he's getting more.
I don't think it should be in the comedy section.
Win.
I hear it, but like Abbott. Should be getting those awards.
Yeah,
in the conversation.
It should be.
Yeah.
I think because it's up against Abbott, that's the only reason it upsets me. But
Abbott,
legit.
Like, any other
season 4 is already like on the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, next month. Not even this month. This month.
I'm turning them out.
Because I've had enough.
But it's
all waiting 3 years.
10 episodes. No, Abbott Elementary is 20 minutes, roughly, like 25 minutes an episode. If it's meant to be like, the office or workplace, like comedy, I need more episodes. It needs to be about 20, 25 episodes a season.
Yes.
And the season needs, once you're done with one, a month break, back on set.
This fake cute didn't even grow up in the era of 25 episodes.
No, I didn't.
Yes, I did.
You didn't. You grew up on the... You're a streaming kid, man.
No, I'm not. How could I be a streaming kid? I'm born in 2000.
Oh.
That's the complete opposite of them.
No, but I like... Sorry, whole ass niggas. My bad. Niggas are born in the 20th century. Fucking bum bitches. Leave me alone.
I thought you were like that's crazy. The end of the 90s.
Also, we're in the year 2024. Like, I'm not 12 anymore.
Well, barely.
That's Manny's.
Like, I actually do get older with the years. And
oh, really?
Yeah, crazy concept.
Welcome, crazy.
Welcome. But, I do think we need more episodes. Anyways. But yeah, Abbott is just, I'm really enjoying it. And they've got a crossover with
Sunny.
Yeah.
And I officially finished. I watched every single episode of Always Sunny. And there's been like 7 episodes they've taken off all streaming.
Because it's bare racist.
Yeah, but I'm like, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, you can't have like more high ground of it. You can't keep the episodes when they keep saying the F slurs and N slurs. You can't. Like, and then take off the ones they have black face and yellow face. That's usually where you guys draw the line. No, and also there's an episode of like, it's all based around slurs. Or like when Frank says that he's the whole thing's about like Hitler and stuff. Like, you can't have those episodes still up and then be like, hey guys, black face is where we, like, that's so wrong. Yeah, it's really interesting. But the fact that they're going on to Abbott.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see how that's going to work.
I know. However, what happens is going to slap.
I can just sense it.
What happens is going to slap because Quinta is elite.
Yeah.
She is.
But yeah, Toby, thank you for joining us. Round of applause from the crew.
Greatest guest of all time.
And we're definitely going to have you back on at some point.
Yes, great guest of all time. What are you looking at me like that for?
Because I was once a guest.
Yes. Greatest guest of all time.
He was never going to double. That was always going to be a win for Toby. Thank you for joining us. And yeah, that's the Post Credit Scene Podcast. 14 HQ Original Lovers of Film, TV and Theatre. You know the vibes.
Hi, I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene.